The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is Wednesday. We're getting ready for the 4th of July weekend. I wanted to read to you from Romans.
Oh, hi, everyone. I am taking over for Pastor Jeff Shreve, who in my ear was lost as well for you. And so he was going to read Romans, and I wish I knew exactly the passage because I would start up from there. But while we try to get him back, and I'm being told that we got him back. So he'll, Pastor Jeff, you with
me? Here we go. A little mix up there. So Romans chapter 13, rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Well, you might have seen yesterday in the news that President Donald Trump was in Florida, and he was there with Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem for the opening of what is known as Alligator Alcatraz. And also joining them was our own Jenna Ellis. And Jenna shared a picture with me yesterday and Tim Wahlman with her and Governor DeSantis. And so I asked her if she would come on the program this morning to talk about this place that's been in the news, very controversial. From a conservative standpoint, it seems like a great idea, but the detractors on the left are there in full force. So Jenna, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, and that was a preview for me to just step in of who your first guest was. So you know, we kind of blew the surprise there. But thanks for having me.
Well, that's okay. Okay, I was really pleased to see you there with Governor DeSantis. And so, how did that come about? Where you got invited to the grand opening?
Yeah, that was an incredible honor, and the governor's office called me and asked if I would be willing to attend that, and I said absolutely. And so, there's a lot of coordination, of course, between the governor's office and the White House, and it was really incredible to me, actually, how few media and and others were actually there at that opening. So it was even more of a privilege than I initially had anticipated, because especially when the president and the governor were first there on the tarmac, I mean, there were maybe 15 people kind of around getting that press conference and talking to him. Then they went in kind of for a tour, and then there was a round table. And so the photo that I shared with you was after the president had departed, and then I got a few minutes just to speak one-on-one with the governor and also then tour the facility a little bit with his team afterwards. I posted some video for people who are interested in seeing what it looks like inside. You can go to @RealJennaEllis on X, see the video and the commentary that I posted there. But overall, it was just an incredible experience to see the partnership of the federal government and the state government when they're working and utilizing their constitutionally vested powers together for the purpose of effectuating the border control and the agenda that truly is a biblical worldview of sovereign nations and borders and protections of our rights as Americans together. And it was a great moment as well, just for me personally, to see President Trump and Governor DeSantis and their genuine friendship. And I think their mutual respect for each other. So I mentioned to the governor after as well that was just a great moment.
Okay, so Jenna, I was thinking about that because Trump, the clip I saw, Trump was saying, Ron DeSantis and I will always be friends. We may disagree on things, but we'll always be friends. And I couldn't help but think of his relationship with Elon Musk, because, sometimes when friendships just seem to come up overnight and they're like best buddies, especially with two bulls like Elon Musk and Donald Trump, That can end poorly. Ron DeSantis is a bull too, and he's a great leader. You know, I didn't think he and Trump would get do very well on a presidential ticket because they're too much alike. But what do you make of the friendship there between DeSantis and Trump versus Trump and Musk?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a great question, and I think the difference, of course, is the difference in perhaps character between Governor DeSantis and Elon Musk. I'm a fan of both, but obviously Governor DeSantis is the Christian. He is the one who understands, you know, the biblical worldview of government, and I think also personally has more of an ability as a Christian to set aside, you know, some of the past kind of conflicts and recognize that his office, you know, moving forward, he can forgive and forget, you know, as actually the Bible commands us to, right? And I think there's been a lot of reconciliation and an ongoing friendship with the president, and we're seeing, at least from my view of, you know, not having been in the room with Trump and Elon Musk, just what we're seeing reported, it seems like Elon has a little bit more of a, well, I have to prove myself right, get what I want, and focus more on that. And we know he's not a Christian. He doesn't profess to be. He doesn't have the same values. He might have some conservative things that we overlap and we agree with. But I think it really shows the difference in the nature and character of a Christian versus someone whose priorities are elsewhere.
Yeah, good point. Okay, so let's talk about Alcatraz. Obviously, the critics don't like the place. How dare they do this? I read some things. It's inhumane. It's hot, humid, swampy, mosquitoes. I guess it's inhumane if you're trying to escape, and the escape route is not very, very easy there. What was that place like?
Yeah, it really was a swamp. I mean, for anyone who's ever been to the Everglades, and, you know, this was really my first time kind of going, you know, deep into it. I mean, about an hour and a half into the Everglades. They're not kidding that this is really in the wild. There are, you know, giant alligators, pythons, panthers, bears, bugs. I mean, this is not something that you want to, if you are, you know, detained at this facility, just go out on your own. And so that kind of natural barrier just proves as it serves rather as a deterrent. And so a lot of these naysayers who are raising, you know, humanitarian objections and all of that are failing to recognize that if a person finds themselves being confronted with having to zigzag away from an alligator, it's because they've already broken out of a facility which is itself an illegal act. I mean, it's not like, and I mentioned this on my show this morning, it's not like this is being set up as like a coliseum where we're putting people yeah. there and saying, hey, see if you can survive like the Hunger Games. Like, that's not the point. The point is, this is so rural that hopefully it will serve as a deterrent. And deterrents are actually a good thing to maintain borders, boundaries, and in this instance, detention.
So they're going to, I read where it's tents. They're setting up tents there. Is that right?
Yeah, so I mean, they're not full standalone buildings and all of that. It is a little bit more of kind of this makeshift, but they're very, you know, well maintained. There are already walls with the barbed wire, all of that, and then these rooms that are very well ventilated and then, you know, heated, cooled. I mean, it started just a torrential downpour. I mean, it's Florida. In kind of some of the last moments that we were there touring the facility with the governor after the roundtable, and even then, you know, it was very climate controlled. And so, you know, a lot of these beds and things, it looked very nice, clean, new. I mentioned on my program this morning, I mean, if you didn't know better, it would almost looked like, you know, some bunk beds in a, you know, kind of moderate comfort inn. I mean, it wasn't really like what you would see on, you know, maybe a Hollywood version or something that the left could genuinely object to as, you know, these aren't humane conditions.
When do people start arriving?
My understanding is that it opened yesterday, and as soon as, of course, the president and the governor and then all of the visitors departed, they were starting to bring in people right away.
So these are people just in Florida that they're capturing, or these are people all from all over?
My understanding on that as well, and I interviewed DHS Strategic Comms Officer Micah Bach earlier on my program, and what he was saying, and I think the governor and the president yesterday were saying, is that this is serving nationally, and so how they're selecting who to come of, they're characterizing as kind of the worst of the worst. You know, so these are offenders that they want to expedite the actual deportation process. So there's one way in, and which is on that deportation van, and then one way out, which is a flight, you know, out of the country and being deported. And so this is kind of a rapid turnaround. And what Micah told me was that, you know, some of the operations he's not going to get ahead of, which, you know, to me says the operations and exactly how this is going to go have not yet been made public. Generally, you know, from someone who's been a spokesperson for, you know, the president, and, you know, you kind of know what you can and can't say publicly yet. And so some of this operational stuff probably is still being worked out, and also some of it not yet out in the public. And so generally when you hear someone in the government say, you know, I'm not going to get ahead of the agency or the officer that I'm speaking for, that to me, having been in that situation, signals, you know, I can't yet disclose that.
Okay, that makes sense. Let me shift gears on you a little bit, Jenna. The big, beautiful bill, Elon Musk is so against it, and that seems to have destroyed the relationship between him and President Trump. What's your take on that bill?
Yeah, you know, and I also had Congressman Jim Jordan on in the last segment of my show, and he made a really good point that individually, a lot of these things, while we may as conservatives say, well, this doesn't go far enough, like the defunding of Planned Parenthood or some of these things, would we as conservatives say that a year is better than nothing? Absolutely. And if that was a standalone item and a standalone piece of legislation, that probably, unfortunately, wouldn't pass given especially the composition of the Senate right now. I mean, we saw that it was a 50-50 vote, three Republican defectors, the vice president had to come and have that tie-breaking vote. And so you're not going to get an absolutely perfect piece of legislation, but to not let the good be the enemy of the perfect. Mm-hmm. And what does perfect mean? Well, I think that would look a little bit different within the conservative parameters in terms of priorities of what funding goes where, what cuts are made where. And so while we as conservatives, and I would certainly say as someone who very much values the pro-life agenda, you know, yeah, make Planned Parenthood defunding permanent, but you're probably not going to get that past the Senate in this context. So overall, I think this is currently good. It was better in its original form, but my hope is that with the House, then procedurally how they go through things, you know, maybe that there can be some other modifications to get this in an even better spot, or if that's not possible procedurally, to get this at least to where this is a first step, and then come back with more. Because the biggest criticism that I've had of Congress is that they're not codifying President Trump's really good policy, and this is a great first step because it does fund and give resources to border control, to ICE, to DHS, all of these things, so that we have a more secure border. It does do all of these things. It provides those tax breaks. So again, while it's maybe not perfect, as if I were the drafter and had the single vote on it, but overall, I think it is really good.
Why do you think Musk is just going crazy over it?
You know, there's probably a few different responses to that, but since he didn't get exactly everything he prefers, and he's not a member of the team that is the Republican coalition in either the House or the Senate, he has the luxury of saying, well, I'm just opposing it because it doesn't have everything I want. And that really was the impetus for him going against the president on this. And it seems to me that he felt entitled to certain items and certain decisions because of his massive campaign donations, his role with Doge, and because he's not getting everything he wants, then it's not at all good enough. And so it's almost like it's either all or nothing for him. And that seems to fit in line with a lot of the ways that he's handled even his own companies in the past. I mean, he's a very passionate guy that's accomplished a lot, and it seems to be in a lot of instances kind of an all or nothing person.
Well, he's done a lot of good. I like Elon Musk. He's obviously a smart guy. It's sad to see him and Trump argue so vehemently in public like that, but hopefully something good can come out of that. Jenna, thanks so much for coming on today. You're always a great guest and such a great host, and I just appreciate you as a friend.
I appreciate you too. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Thanks, Jenna. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to talk about, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about taking the good with the bad. There's a lot of good with Donald Trump, and one of the biggest goods is a return to moral sanity, as we're going to discuss with the situation with the University of Pennsylvania and the transgender insanity. But there are downsides too, and so we have to be honest about that. Well, we'll talk more when we come back from the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we were talking to Jenna Ellis, and we appreciate her coming on talking about alligator Alcatraz. And people are saying, oh, what a terrible, horrible place that is. It's inhumane, a place surrounded by alligators and pythons and all sorts of other things. She said bears and other animals that can eat you. But they're not roaming the tents and the bunks. So if you try and escape, yeah, you're going to run into those things. But as we said in Romans chapter 13, verse 3, the government and rulers, they're not to be feared by those who are obeying the righteous laws of the land. But if you disobey, the government doesn't bear the sword in vain. It will use the sword. And so Romans 13 tells us we obey government unless government tells us to do something that would conflict with the laws and the commands of God. Well, I want to switch gears, as we said at the end of the first segment, taking the good with the bad. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and we were saying about Donald Trump. You know, there's so much to appreciate about that guy from people who have a biblical worldview, from people who want to see law and order, from people who want to return to moral sanity. From day one, Donald Trump said we are going to return to moral sanity. This was early. He's still early in his second term, but this was several months ago when he had people in the White House. He says things very clearly and directly. I appreciate that about him.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Well, that gets cheers because of the last administration that had just embraced moral insanity. Well, everyone knows, I mean, it's common sense, uncommon sense now, but used to be common sense, that there are only two genders. Now, here is President Trump talking at the graduation ceremony for the University of Alabama, and yet again, very straightforward, just tells it like it is. That's why so many people love the guy.
It helps when you know that borders are not racist, speech is not violence, America is good, terrorists are bad, men can never become women, police are not criminals, and criminals are not victims.
So, I mean, that's just truth, and it's very plainly, bluntly said. And criminals are not victims. The left is opposite on all those things, and Trump just calls them out. Hey, this is the real story. And I appreciate that about him. Now, I saw yesterday on Todd Starnes' page this that shocked me, and no doubt you've heard about it. It has to do with the University of Pennsylvania. They will formally apologize to all female swimmers and will reinstate all female swimming records. Penn reached an agreement with the Trump administration in the aftermath of the Leah Thomas scandal. Leah Thomas is the the very confused man who thinks he's a woman, beat, well, it didn't beat Riley Gaines, tied Riley Gaines, but was given leg up on their race because they wanted to be a trans committee there. The university also agreed they will no longer allow men to compete in women's sports. Penn also agrees to accept the definition of male and female that are consistent with the president's order defending women from gender ideology extremism and keeping men out of women's sports. This is a great victory for women and common sense. God bless President Trump and God bless Riley Gaines. That was from my friend Todd Starnes, and I was shocked. Now, it's great news, and it's obviously the right decision that they made. But here was Riley Gaines being interviewed on Laura Ingraham last night about this decision.
Now, Riley, you have been a champion on this issue. You received an enormous amount of flack and criticism, some of it really vicious over the years. But you knew you were right, and President Trump and Secretary McMahon helped along the way. Without them, this would not have happened, obviously. Your reaction tonight, historic news from you, Penn.
Man, I watched that video back, Laura, that you showed in the intro to this segment, and I cannot even believe that happened. All the while, so many sat idly by and watched and actually reprimanded us as women if we even dared to speak about this. To say that I, of course, am grateful for Secretary McMahon, for President Trump, for even Attorney General Bondi, she's been fantastic at the Department of Justice on this issue, is an understatement. I feel vindicated. I feel like pigs are flying. I feel like hell has frozen over. So it is a fantastic day, of course, for sanity, for common sense, but I think more broadly for women, for humanity, for the little girl that I'm growing inside of me right now that I will welcome to the world in just a few weeks. I think of her. I think of her future. That is what Donald Trump and, of course, Secretary McMahon and myself, that is what we are fighting for. So very, very excited about today's news.
Riley Gaines is a hero of mine. She's just been a champion for women's sports and for moral sanity at a great cost, and going on these college campuses. And you know you don't have a good argument, speaking of the other side, when all you have is violence and slurs and, hurling all kinds of, rhetoric that's just attacking. We could talk about an ad hominem argument. It's just against the man. You can't attack the merits of the argument, so you just attack the person, and that's what happens on the left. I was watching something just the other day, and it was somebody was at a gay pride event, and they were asking questions about this, and I think it was in New York, where their men were parading down the street naked. I mean, it's just sickening. And somebody started asking questions, and what happened? They get attacked because there is no argument that you can make. This is wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. But I have maintained for a long time that we are dealing with people that have been given over, many of them, given over to a reprobate mind. So Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind. That's a mind that is useless, a mind that doesn't work, a mind that can't add 2 + 2 morally anymore. To do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. I mean, this is just a horrible list of sins. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I think we're dealing with a big part of the country that has this reprobate mind. They can't add things up. And, you know, when it comes to the people in the media and legacy media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, all those groups, you know, the questions that they ask Caroline Leavitt, it's always negative. It's always just against. They're never for the country. They're always against the country. They're never for patriotic issues. They're always against patriotic issues. I was watching a clip today from Dr. Phil talking about Ilhan Omar. How in the world does that person get elected? She hates America. She says America is one of the worst countries on the planet. Why would anyone elect her to any kind of public office? It is mind-blowing. The people that would want to have her represent them. Listen, if you're going to be on the team, so to speak, hey, I'm going to be a congressman, I'm going to be a senator, I'm going to be in the thick of things and represent my people for a better America. Well, one of the requirements is you have to love the country. You have to love the team. If you don't love the team, then leave. Go somewhere else. You know, Charlie Kirk was talking about someone on a college campus, and the person said right off the bat, "I hate America." And Charlie Kirk says, "Well, do you have plans to leave?" And the man said, "No." And he said, "Well, that just shows the greatness of America. You're sitting here saying you hate America, but you don't want to leave." You know, people hated East Berlin. They hated living there. They wanted to leave because it was so bad and so oppressive. And what did they do in East Berlin? They built a wall to keep people in. They would shoot people if they tried to escape. We have to build walls and have soldiers protecting our borders so people don't get in. You're not going to travel hundreds of miles to get into a terrible place. You're going to travel and do all that you can to get out of a terrible place. It just shows you the greatness of America and the wisdom that God gave our founding fathers when they set up America. Well, taking the good with the bad, as we've been saying. So Donald Trump does a lot of good things. Even Elon Musk, he's having a public feud with Elon Musk. I talked a little bit to Jenna about that. But Elon Musk gave a hat tip to Donald Trump on the 60-day ceasefire that he brokered between Israel and Hamas. And so we'll see how that plays out. You know, there is no negotiation in my mind with Hamas because Hamas just exists. It's like a cancer in your body. You can't have a ceasefire with cancer. You stay over here, I'll stay over there. Cancer just by nature wants to grow and consume until it kills you. And that's what Hamas wants to do with Israel. So we'll wait to see what happens there. I was listening or reading a post by my friend Dr. Gary Frazier, and he said, this can't be a land for hostages deal because God gave Israel the land, and that never works. If Hamas stays in power, this is just going to have an uprising again because, like I said, Hamas is a cancer, and cancer just exists to grow and take over. But I thought it was as big of Elon Musk to give a hat tip to Donald Trump. You know, you saw the headline, perhaps, that Donald Trump was talking about, maybe we should look into deporting Elon Musk. That's just silly. I don't know why he would do that. Trump does a lot of good things, and I appreciate the fact that he stands up for common sense. He stands up for what is right, just like he said in the speech he gave at the University of Alabama, hey, borders aren't racist. You know, we got to the place in our country just a few years ago where people were saying, well, math is racist. Did you ever hear that one? Math is racist. You know, this idea with showing ID to vote, that's racist. How in the world is that racist? Well, because some people can't get ID. You've probably seen the clips where those on the left were saying it's not possible for some of these people to get ID. They don't know how to do that. And then someone went into one of our big cities and talked to folks that supposedly, black people that supposedly can't get ID, and just started interviewing them. Hey, do you find it hard to get ID? Do you have a driver's license? Yeah, I have a driver's license. Well, do you know how to use the internet? Of course I know how to use the internet. Do you have a phone? Yes, I have a phone. All these things they're saying about them, they're not true at all. It's very racist, in my opinion, to say, well, you know, all black people, they can't figure out how to use a phone, how to use the internet, how to get a driver's license. Good grief, give me a break. So I like what President Trump says. We need to have a colorblind society. It needs to be merit-based. Merit-based society, that works for everybody. And that's how professional sports works. It's merit-based. They don't care if you're yellow or purple or green or whatever. If you can play and you're good at your sport, they're going to put you on the court. They're going to put you on the field. And that's the way we need to do things here in America. And the best person ought to get the job. We shouldn't have quotas about things. And the people with the best academic records ought to be the ones getting into colleges and universities. And so that just makes sense. But I wish there can be a resolution to the Trump and Elon Musk disaster. That's just not good for anyone. Well, we are coming up against a break. When we come back from the break, as is our practice, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, or there's something that you would like to discuss, I obviously haven't read the big, beautiful bill, although it was read in the Senate every page, 900 plus pages. That would be a little dry, I would think. But if you have a question about that, we can talk about that. And I like what my friend Rick Scarborough said concerning the big, beautiful bill. He said, I trust President Trump. He is a patriot. He wants to do what's good for America, what's good for the people. So if he thinks this is good, I'm going to support him in it. And so I would agree with him on that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you'd like to talk about Alcatraz, that's what we talked about at the beginning, or the situation with President Trump and Elon Musk, or the big, beautiful bill, the things that are in the news. And as we get ready to celebrate birthday number 249 in America this Friday, Debbie and I are headed out on Thursday morning around 10 to go to Houston to be with my family and see my grandsons, Jack, Chase, and Drew. Jack is getting ready to turn 4 years old, so we're going to his birthday party. And then Drew, Chase is two, and Drew is 4 months. So it's always fun with those little guys and being with Amy and Travis. And so we're looking forward to that. My youngest daughter, Sarah, who's a PA in Little Rock, she's going to travel with us as we make the typically 4.5 hour drive, 5 hour drive. So hopefully we'll not see so much traffic that it takes a lot longer than that. Well, before we go to the phone lines, I wanted to just play a clip. I saw Caroline Leavitt, who is just press secretary extraordinaire. Somebody posted this and said Caroline Leavitt is a rock star. So they were asking the question about what's going on with Israeli forces firing on these poor starving people just trying to get food, trying to get water, and how do you respond to that? This is what she said.
There are no reports that Israeli forces are firing on Palestinians trying to get aid from the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. Up to 20 people, according to the Red Cross, have arrived to the hospital that they've set up with gunshot wounds, have died from them. Is this administration aware of these? And I mean, what is being done to address this situation?
The administration is aware of those reports, and we are currently looking into the veracity of them because, unfortunately, unlike some in the media, we don't take the word of Hamas with total truth. We like to look into it when they speak, unlike the BBC, who had multiple headlines. They wrote, Israeli tank kills 26. Israeli tank kills 21. Israeli gunfire kills 31. Red Cross says 21 people were killed in an aid incident. And then, oh wait, they had to correct and take down their entire story, saying we reviewed the footage and couldn't find any evidence of anything. Oh, okay. So we're going to look into reports before we confirm them from this podium or before we take action. And I suggest that journalists who actually care about truth do the same to reduce the amount of misinformation that's going around the globe.
Yeah, great answer. And I'm asked that quite a bit. I've been doing a lot of interviews for the new book that's out, my new book, The Devil's Newsroom, and talking to different ones. And they're like, how can we know when we're getting the truth and when we're getting a lie? And I said, it's difficult in today's world because so many people report lies. Some do it on purpose, you know, from, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some are the perpetrators of the news that's false. They're the ones that made it up. So they're the deceivers, and then others are just deceived. They hear that and they think it's true so that they pass it along. We need to be careful to check things out before we pass them along on social media, and before we report anything, you have to make sure it's true as best you can. Sometimes it's just difficult, but as best we can, don't just, hey, the naive, scripture says the naive believes everything, so we need to try and check things out. That's why when it comes to preachers and teachers of the Word of God, you have to be a Berean, Acts 17:11. But these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So you got to find it in the word and be a Berean and handle accurately the word of truth. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Dana on the line from Texas. Dana, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you very much. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for having your wife on last week. I was driving down to Dripping Springs to babysit my grandsons, and I listened to y'all the whole way down, and it was just a fantastic show about communication. So you blessed me and you helped me, so thank you there.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. 2 points I wanted to say very quickly is I think that the conservative media needs to remind and show footage of whenever the illegals that came to our country were just put up in the New York City Ritz, mm-hmm. and the way there's footage that had been shown about then how they didn't want to leave and the way they trashed those rooms. And that was just so unfair to American citizens to do that. And so on Alligator Alcatraz, illegals do not need a Ritz. and they need to just do this swiftly. You know, we don't need them to even stay in this place very long. So, and then my second point is, I am a Trump supporter. I don't put my trust. You're real good about mixing scripture with politics, so I don't know the verse right offhand. I think it's in the Psalms, but, you know, I don't put all my trust in rulers. You know, I trust God rather than men. But anyway, I think that it would be a neat testimony, and of course, I don't know if Trump has a personal relationship with Christ or not. He might be close. I hope that I pray for him too. But I think he needs to forgive Elon Musk. And what a testimony that would be, not only for Christians, but the conservative side. And I feel like Besant and some of his administration does not, they hate Elon Musk. Maybe there's a lot of jealousy and rivalry going on, but wouldn't that be something if he would forgive Elon Musk and Elon Musk can see Christ through that?
Yeah, that's a great point. I wish he would do that too. You know, it's just, Elon has helped him a lot, and Elon sacrificed a lot. Not only did he give him, I read where it was $270 million or something that he invested in his campaign, doing all the things he did for Doge. He lost a lot of money doing that. He worked tirelessly and with no reward. But he did that because he loves the country. I think both of those guys love America. For whatever reason, you know, things have soured. And, you know, Elon is, as Jenna Ellis said, you know, Elon is not a believer, doesn't claim to be a believer. And so he can act and lash out on social media. I think he was the one that did it first, and then Trump always responds back. And so, yeah, it's just not good. You know, it's just like, I wish Trump would say, hey, Elon is a friend. I like him. He and I disagree on this bill. And, you know, good people can disagree on things when it comes to how, you know, how to skin a cat, so to speak. The old expression, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so, I would hope they can, you know, agree to disagree and still stay friends. And so it's going to take the bigger person to make that happen. It was positive to see Elon post. He retweeted Donald Trump or reposted and said, credit where credit is due, talking about the 60-day ceasefire between Israel and Gaza. So that was a good thing. That was a good first step. So I appreciate the call, Dana, and I appreciate your prayers for President Trump. We need to be praying for him. Christians need to be praying at this time. That guy is under tremendous pressure. Somebody pointed out, I thought this was interesting, I think it was Bill Maher. He said, do you notice how presidents age so much in office? George Bush and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. He said, but Donald Trump kind of still looks the same. He's just built for this. And he can't really say Joe Biden because, you know, Joe, he went into the office diminished and he came out even more diminished. So it is something to see, and we do need to be praying. But I appreciate your kind comments, and I hope you have a great 4th of July. Thank you for calling in today. We have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, I want to ask a quick question, and that is, I noticed in Luke 21, when it talks about Israel being encircled by their enemies, and it says, these be the days of vengeance. Now, we know vengeance means revenge. So I'm wondering if the Lord was telling us that maybe Israel isn't as perfect as people say, and there are things going on, and some people are going to pay for it. I hope not, but I was just wondering, what does he mean by these be the days of vengeance?
What verse is that? Chapter 21, verse...
Luke, hold on.
Oh, here it is. I found it. It's 22. Yeah, let me look at that in the Greek. Yeah, so Jesus says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. He's talking about 70 AD when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must flee, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance. And that word, punishment, retributive justice, that's what that word means, avenging of wrong. And so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Luke, I had talked about this yesterday. So Matthew in the Olivet Discourse doesn't answer the question. He doesn't record Jesus' answer to the question, when will these things be, when one stone is not left upon another? But Luke does answer that, and that came in 70 AD. So the days of vengeance, it's because they rejected the Messiah, and they said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Remember when Pilate asked the question, then what shall I do with Jesus? Let him be crucified. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. And, you know, he took a basin of water and washed his hands and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See to that yourselves. And they said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. So I think that's the day, the days of vengeance that the Lord was talking about for the crucifixion of the Messiah, the crucifixion of his son. And they did pay, and so many were killed during the siege of Jerusalem and the overthrow of Jerusalem by Rome that Josephus talks about. It's just awful. I was reading somewhere where it said that the fire was put out by the blood of those who were killed during that overthrow and during that siege. So good question, Shirley. I hope that helped answer that.
It did. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Well, we need to know, as the scripture says, when you see all these things take place, the wars, the rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, just the political unrest that we have right now, when you see all these things take place, look up, be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. And that is obviously stated in the Gospel of Luke, and that's getting closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus. I was talking to a brother yesterday on an interview, and he said, you know, we're closer today than ever before to the return of Christ. And that is so true. And so we do, when things are difficult, and this is just in life, man who is born of woman, Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. And when the troubles just engulf you and engulf your family and you feel so overwhelmed, look up and be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. We're closer than ever to the return of Christ. Hey, we're closer than ever to meeting the Lord. You know, nobody knows how long he has to live, how long she has to live. Yesterday's gone, tomorrow is not a certainty. All we have is today. And so we live today seeking the Lord. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, as the Bible says in the book of Psalms. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And so, hey, be encouraged today. God is the God of hope. No matter what's going on in our world, in our nation, in your life specifically, God knows, God cares. Romans 15:13 is a great life verse. If you don't have a life verse, consider Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's critical, in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is so critical, and our hope is found in Jesus. So take Romans 15:13 today to be your encouragement, and use that to encourage somebody else, somebody who is losing hope, because God is the God of hope. And as we look to him, as we trust his word, as we say, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes fixed on him and know that God does love you, God is good, and he will work all things together for good to those who love him. Well, that's all for us today. I'll be with you again tomorrow with Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge. He's going to be my guest. You don't want to miss the program. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.